In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, do we have any Christians here today? A few, good. Almost everybody. That's a good sign. Well, at the end of this, maybe you will be one or maybe you won't. It's hard to say. But I want to know this, though. I mean, do we have any full-on kingdom-believing disciples of Jesus Christ in this building today or online? Are you sure? Excellent. I'm glad, because this reading should really have inspired you. Now, they skipped over some explanation of a particular parable, but there's five parables that we just heard. Five parables. All of them have to do with the kingdom. Five times. The kingdom is like. The kingdom is like. And it five times we've heard that. And then we get these little pretty brief descriptions, right? And we could say, well, that's interesting. Maybe we're not 100% sure what that means. But here we are, believers in the fact that the kingdom of God is near. Amen? In fact, we would say the kingdom of God is here, because Jesus initiated this kingdom, and now we await for its consummation in the end, in his second coming. But it's here now, and we have this opportunity, and we get to live as kingdom people. We do, I promise. But then we live in this world, don't we? And we live in this broken world, and we sometimes wonder, as people who are kingdom people, maybe there isn't enough kingdom in the world. Maybe that's, you get out there some days and think, I may be the only kingdom person I know. And you look around the world and you think, well, that's certainly not the behavior I would expect in the kingdom of God, is it? And sometimes we look at that, and sometimes I look at that and I, man, this is what we would call an uphill battle, isn't it? But it's just a struggle, see, because the battle's won in the name of Jesus, amen? But we still have the struggle, and we may not think there's enough. We may not think there's enough. For those of you at home, someone's playing the piano for us. And I'm grateful. Thanks be to God that our little ones, our little kingdom dwellers, are with us today. Give me just a second, it's coming back. Oh my gosh. Not distracted, I'm just overwhelmed to have little people moving around in the church. It's a really beautiful thing. Feels more like the kingdom. But in this broken world, sometimes it can get a little overwhelming, can't it? And we hear in these first two parables, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which we know is a tiny little thing. You can argue over what kind of mustard plant they're talking about. Really doesn't matter. Find the biggest mustard seed you can find. You can still get it stuck under your fingernail. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman uses 3 measures of flour. That's quite a bit, by the way, into the dough. And we know what it'll do. We've all seen it. So I want to say to you, kingdom people, where the Spirit of God dwells within you, even in this world, it's enough. It is enough. You cannot let the world overwhelm you. You have to be focused on the kingdom and a life as one who is a full-blown believer in the kingdom of God being present among us and within you. You have to keep moving in it. Donald Hagner, theologian, said, the kingdom of God has humble beginnings. Isn't that the truth? I mean, Jesus entered this world as an infant. Mystery of the kingdom? It is near, but often easily missed or overlooked. But those of us who believe this truth, those of us who have found this truth, we can never go about this world as if it isn't true. We have to hold on to this truth. We have to move through this world as firm believers in a promise that Jesus has made to us, that he is with us now, and that we will be with him forever in life eternal when he reigns. It's what he's saying. In fact, he says those who will figure it out, as he moves forward to the next three parables, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, and when he finds that special pearl, takes everything he has to get that one pearl. And I know many of you know this is true. When you have had a kingdom encounter, when you have recognized the risen Lord, your life is different, isn't it? I mean, it's forever changed. Your opportunity to live a kingdom life now becomes your top priority, amen? I mean, nothing is going to take you off course. Nothing should take you off course. But yet we gather together, and I say to you, don't let it. Whatever the world may be saying to you or doing to you, it's still nothing to God, because he has done everything through Jesus Christ, amen? See, he has initiated this kingdom, and it's there, and it's available to you, and when you find it, I mean, you just want it, don't you? You just want it. And I'd say to you, take it. Live it. Own it. It's there. It's here. It's here. It's here. And of course, Jesus always has to throw in a little something extra, doesn't he? The kingdom's a strange place. Get down to this final parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. I like that. I mean, the kingdom encompasses absolutely everyone. Everyone. And we can glory in that, can't we? Amen? Everyone. Even me, shockingly. I mean, this net that Jesus has cast will gather all of us. This church that he has built for his purpose, in which we follow, is for that same purpose, by the way. Our net that we cast as holy innocents had meant to capture everyone. Everyone. That's the whole idea. And I know as Episcopalians, we like this concept of building the church, and they will come. That's the way it used to work, right? I mean, let's face it, this community was built because I suspect people got tired of driving into Tampa or out to maybe Plant City. They're like, we're Episcopalians, we're right here. We should put a church here. And then all the other Episcopalians will just come here instead of driving other directions. That's how we've built almost every church that has the name Episcopal on it. Almost everyone. Fun thing is when you go to a church that was built for that purpose and then the whole neighborhood changed around it and then nobody knows what to do with it. All the Episcopalians left. We've had that happen in many cases with our churches. And that's where we started to see again this net that Jesus is talking about. This kingdom net that's thrown by those kingdom believers in this world, his church, was designed to capture everyone. Everyone. As long as they don't sit in our pew, right? Well, I guess he fixed that problem too, didn't he? You don't even get to sit where you want. Come in the door and you sit wherever you're told to sit, 6 feet away from everyone else who came in, amen? Or maybe you're on your couch and you got your coffee, which doesn't sound like a half bad deal. But the net's still being cast. And it should capture everybody. We're usually so worried about who it might capture. I mean, let's be honest. We're afraid it might capture somebody we don't want. Somebody we won't know what to do with. Or maybe somebody who isn't truly a full kingdom believer. heaven forbid. So we choose our fishing ground, don't we? That's not what Jesus says. He's initiated this kingdom, and he's entrusted it for whatever reason. He's entrusted the work of his kingdom to us in this time that we now live, this already but not yet. And he's saying in this parable, cast the net. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. And when it was full, they drew the shore, sat down, put the good into baskets, and threw out the bad. Well, that's what any good fisherman would do, right? So it will be at the end of the age. One difference, though. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire where there is will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we can hear that, and we could be afraid that maybe we're going to get thrown into the furnace, but if you're a true kingdom believer, you already know in your heart that isn't the case, is it? I think we should hear this way. Cast your nets and cast them wide, and let the kingdom of God touch every single person that you can in this life. And if it catches somebody who is living an evil life, guess whose problem that is? God's. It's not your problem. You don't go casting in the place where you know you're just going to get the good fish. He says cast out the net to capture all. As many of you know, I spent a few years doing sales. My best customers were the ones that were outside of my understanding of where I would find my best customer. And the people that were listed as my best customers really weren't. I had a company that I worked that bought from me in the state of Florida. They were the largest account in the entire state. But they weren't really a good customer. You know why? They only bought about four things from me. But they bought a lot of them, of those four things. And they wanted a better price. And I finally, the price got so low, it's like, it's just not worth it. It's going to cost me money to sell it to them. So I threw my net wide. Kind of upset that customer. Because people who could buy from me directly that had been buying from him quit buying from him. And in a year, I increased sales 20% and lost my biggest customer at the same time. See, when we think we know where to cast the net, we may be missing exactly who Jesus is trying to capture. Do it his way, not your way. Don't think about, well, we got to be careful. We don't want those people coming in here. Not our problem. We have one job. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. People will capture it. They'll give everything they have. They'll value it to such a level, they'll give everything they have to get a hand on it, to make it their top priority. Some will just sort of dabble in it and wonder, and others may turn completely against it. It's not our struggle. See, Jesus will sort it all out in his way and in his time. Amen? But I would say to you, church, I have to be honest. There are times I wonder if we aren't casting our net to catch the fullness of what the kingdom is designed to capture, who's going to get sorted out? Who's going to get sorted out? Now, sometimes I got to get a little nervous to get motivated. That makes me a little nervous. Makes me want to run out there and start casting the net wide. Amen? I want to make sure that I'm living into this kingdom that Jesus has shown me, and that I stand here and proclaim to you is near and here and within me, the power to live up to the work that God's called us to do by his own strength that indwells me. I want to stand here and say, I want to do it well. I do. And some days, maybe not as well, I have to admit, but I do, I really want to. And I want you to also. But let's not get caught up in the detail of who. I mean, for some of us, let's be honest. If I had to pass a particular test to enter into God's church, I'd have failed. Maybe some of you would have too. Maybe you wouldn't have made the grade, so to speak. Maybe even at different times in your life you attempted to grow nearer to God and found yourself in a church where you weren't allowed because of your broken life. I don't ever want to be in that church. I want to be in his church, and his church casts the net wide. He'll sort out. If someone gets caught up in there that is not in alignment with God's will, let him handle it. We'll just continue to do our job. Let God do his. Favorite line of the passage this morning, verse 51. Have you understood all this? And Jesus says, have you understood all this? And they answered, yes. So just so you know, if you can't hear everything at home, when I said, have you understood all this? Nobody said a word. So I did my best. It's this. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven is like nothing we can fully understand. It is with us and almost invisible at the same time. But that little bit that is with us is enough that it will grow and expand beyond any expectation any of us could imagine, because it's God's expectation that it's going to meet. Those who discover the kingdom will give their entire lives for it. Everything. It will be number one priority in everything they do at the moment they wake up until the moment they go to sleep at night. From that day forward, their primary goal is that other people will come to know Jesus Christ and understand the concept of this kingdom. It will mean everything. And if the kingdom of heaven is like this net, we are going to throw this information out to the entire world. We aren't going to pick and choose who we'll be evangelizing. We'll evangelize anyone who wants to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and even some who don't. And how it's received and how they respond is not our job. We're still in marketing. We don't close the deal. Jesus closes the deal. If someone walks around in the church and looks like they belong and they have a heart that is not truly for God, God will sort it out. We just keep doing our job. Oh, and by the way, do you understand this? Yes. So if we understand it, and we are proclaiming to be, as some did at the beginning of this sermon, that you are full-on kingdom-believing disciples of Jesus Christ, amen? Amen. Jesus calls you something else. Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Brothers and sisters, bring out your kingdom treasure so that the world can see the great value that it is, so they too can make the sacrifices necessary, the ones that they want to leave behind for that beautiful thing that you carry with you and within you, this very presence of the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, bring it out. Bring it out. It is your job. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.